Je luistert naar een studie van Calvary Chapel Haarlemmermeer. We bidden dat de Heer tot je zal spreken en je zult groeien in jouw persoonlijke relatie met de levende God. Bezoek voor meer informatie onze website calvarychapel.nl. Dat is calvarychapel.nl.
Good morning, everybody. I think just right now, everybody can just stand up real quick and just put your arms up and shout out that I am a child of God. Isn't that amazing to be reminded of that, especially early in the morning? Well, it's not really early, but for me, it's a little early. But what an amazing promise. You know, we sing these songs for worship, and sometimes we just sing them, but we don't really listen to what the words are saying to us. And they're such a great reminder for each of us. This morning, we're going to be looking into the book of Luke. And in a little bit, I'm going to have Hari, come up and read the verses to you in Dutch so that it makes it much easier. I'm sorry, I know I talk so fast, and I'll try to make it a little bit slower today. But if you would, let's take some time to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for that reminder this morning that we are children of God. Lord, we praise you that the tomb is empty. Lord, what a hope, what a future each of us as your daughters has in you. Because we love you, because we trust in you, because we put our hope in you. This morning, Lord, we invite you to speak to us through your word. Holy Spirit, open up our hearts and our minds and our ears. Lord, may we hear from you this morning what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't have to turn to this scripture, but it's in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes our heart sick. Sometimes in our life, the things that we hope for, they don't come to pass right away, does it? And so sometimes we start to get ill, we start to get nervous, we start to wonder inside, is this going to come to pass? We hope and we pray in our lives. We pray to the Lord and we ask him for certain things. And we don't always get the answer when we want it or even answered in the way that we want it. Sometimes we have a habit of placing surreal expectations on God. Sometimes we expect things from him that really we don't have a right to tell him, God Almighty, how to work in our lives, how to answer our prayers. And then when those things don't come to pass in our life, we get upset. We get upset with the Lord. Sometimes we start to feel like he's abandoned us, that he left us, that he didn't listen to us. We thought that God was going to do something in our life that we asked him to, and he didn't. And we held on to the promise that we thought that God gave us, and maybe he did. Maybe your Bible is dated next to some promises, and you thought that by now those promises would have come to pass, but they didn't. We feel in our hearts and in our minds that God didn't come through for us as we had hoped that he would. So this morning, I want us to look at a couple of guys who I think had the same issue in their life. So if Hedy would come up, and if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke in chapter 24, we're going to read quite a few verses, but it's Luke 24, verses 13 to 35 we're going to read.
Ik lees het uit de herziene statenvertaling. Lucas 24, vers 13. En zie, twee van hen gingen op diezelfde dag naar een dorp dat 60 stadien van Jeruzalem verwijderd was en waarvan de naam Emmaüs was. En zij spraken met elkaar over al deze dingen die gebeurd waren. En het gebeurde, terwijl ze met elkaar spraken en van gedachten wisselden, dat Jezus zelf bij hen kwam en met hen meeliep. Maar hun ogen werden gesloten gehouden, zodat ze hem niet herkenden. En hij zei tegen hen, wat zijn dit voor gesprekken die u al lopend met elkaar voert en waarom ziet u er zo bedroefd uit? En de een, van wie de naam Kleopas was, antwoordde en zei tegen hem, bent u als enige een vreemdeling in Jeruzalem, dat u niet weet welke dingen daar in deze dagen gebeurd zijn? En hij zei tegen hen, welke dan? En zij zeiden tegen hem, de dingen die met betrekking tot Jezus de Nazarener, die een profeet was, machtig in werken en woorden voor God en heel het volk. En hoe onze overpriesters en leiders hem overgeleverd hebben om hem ter dood te veroordelen en hem gekruisigd hebben. En wij hoopten dat hij het was die Israël zou verlossen. Maar al met al is het vandaag de derde dag sinds deze dingen gebeurd zijn. Maar ook hebben sommige vrouwen uit ons midden, die vroeg in de morgen bij het graf geweest zijn, ons versteld doen staan. En toen zij zijn lichaam niet vonden, kwamen ze zeggen dat ze zelfs een verschijning van engelen gezien hadden, die zeiden dat hij leeft. En sommige van hen die bij ons waren, gingen naar het graf en troffen het ook zo aan als de vrouwen gezegd hadden. Maar hem zagen zij niet. En hij zei tegen hen, o, onverstandigen en tragen van hart, dat u niet gelooft al wat de profeten gesproken hebben. Moest de Christus dit niet lijden en zo in zijn heerlijkheid ingaan? En hij begon bij Mozes en al de profeten en legde hun uit wat in al de schriften over hem geschreven was. En zij kwamen dicht bij het dorp waar ze naartoe gingen en hij deed alsof hij verder zou gaan. En zij drongen er bij hem op aan en zeiden, blijf bij ons, want het is tegen de avond en de dag is gedaald. En hij ging naar binnen om bij hen te blijven. En het gebeurde toen hij met hen aan tafel aanlag, dat hij het brood nam en het zegende. En toen hij het gebroken had, gaf hij het aan hen. En hun ogen werden geopend en zij herkenden hem, maar hij verdween uit hun gezicht. En zij zeiden tegen elkaar, was ons hart niet brandend in ons toen hij onderweg tot ons sprak en voor ons de schriften opende? En op datzelfde moment stonden zij op en keerden terug naar Jeruzalem en vonden de 11 discipelen en hen die bij hen waren bijeen. Die zeiden, de Heere is werkelijk opgewekt en is aan Simon verschenen. En zij vertelden wat er onderweg gebeurd was en hoe hij door hen herkend was bij het breken van het brood.
A wonderful story there. I love when God just, you know, gives us these stories in the Bible that are true. Because in my opinion, they really help us in our times of doubt, in our times of fear, in our times of not knowing that we're not the only ones that go through these things. We're not the only ones that sometimes are confused or not really certain. What did Jesus mean? Because we know from this beforehand that Jesus had talked about what was going to happen, how he was going to die, how he was going to rise again. But all of a sudden, once it happened, people forgot what he had said. And here we see these two men walking along a road, the road to Emmaus, and discussing what had just happened. Jesus, the one that they had put all of their hope in, they wanted to try to make sense of what had just happened in the area. They didn't know what was going on. And do you ever do that? You have these times of doubt. You have these times that you just don't know. And so you take a walk with a friend and you're both just wondering, what in the world just happened? I thought this was going to happen. I thought it was going to turn out this way, but I don't know. And neither one of us are able to lift the other one up because we're both confused. Both of us are confused about what is going on. They didn't see Jesus when they were talking to each other. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes to them. But they didn't know that it was Jesus at the time who was walking with them. They had been hoping that Jesus, who they talked with, who they walked with, who they listened to, was going to be the Messiah. And then all of a sudden, their hopes turned to sadness when they saw that the religious leaders crucified Jesus and put him on the cross. 3 days have already gone by, and now these two guys are in a state of hopelessness. And not just them, but you can imagine that a lot of the followers of Jesus, the ones who listened to him, the ones who heard his word, the ones who broke bread with him, are probably in a sad state of mind right now, just trying to sit around and wonder, what in the world just happened? This wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Their expectation of who Jesus was in their minds seemed to diminish. Maybe they were overcome by grief. They were disappointed that Jesus seemingly wasn't who they thought that he was. They thought at one time, perhaps Jesus is the triumphant one, the victorious one, the one that they had been praying for, the one that they had heard about in the past, the one that would redeem Israel. But their expectations weren't met, at least so they thought at this time. These two disciples of Jesus were hoping that Jesus was the king that would reign on an earthly throne. But instead they saw their Jesus nailed to a cross between two common criminals. They were hoping that Jesus would show them victory, that he would be victorious. But instead what Jesus showed them is what humility looks like. And we, as followers of Jesus, can understand a lot of different times in our life the same kind of disappointment that these two guys had. It's hard for us, if we're honest. It is hard. Sometimes being a Christian and being a follower of Jesus is not easy because we have to empty ourselves. We have to put away our earthly wisdom, what makes sense to us. And even as I was sharing last night, I think for many of us as women, we want to analyze things. Everything has to have a reason. Everything has to make sense in our minds. And a lot of times, it doesn't make sense to us the way that we think that it would. And I love in verse 21, you know, because Jesus comes and joins these two men along the road to Emmaus. But their eyes weren't open. They weren't able to know at this particular moment that it was Jesus who was walking with them. And they couldn't understand, why don't you know what's been going on? It's like the greatest event, the most talked about event in this area in so long. And you, what were you, like hiding under a rock or something and you don't know what just happened? But I love how Jesus asks them the question. He's good at that. He's good at asking, like we saw in Elijah's life last night. He's good at asking questions. And I think he asks us these questions to make us start to think. And in verse 21, these guys were talking, and they answered, and they said, we were hoping. We had hoped. This is what they say to Jesus. We were hoping that it was he, Jesus, who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is already the third day since these things had happened. We had hoped. Can you imagine the sadness? Can you imagine these two guys walking and probably their heads were down? I'm very visual. I like visual images. And so when I read the Bible, I try to imagine surrounding or the, I can't think of the word in English. The setting. If you will, of what these guys looked like when they were walking. And I imagine just in my own humanness, what I'm like when I'm walking with a friend and trying to make sense of something spiritual that I don't understand at all. And I'm just usually walking with my head down and the conversation is, yeah, yeah. It's not uplifting conversation. It's not my friend or I trying to encourage one each other, or sometimes even reminding each other of what Jesus had promised in his word. But it's more like, yeah, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe that, you know, what did we do? Did we get it all wrong? And there was a sadness, a genuine sadness in their voices, because they didn't understand. They didn't understand. And they had lost hope. And I think that those three little words, at least in English, they're three words. We had hoped. We had hoped. And how many of us have said those same words at one time or another in our life? We had hoped that that tumor wasn't going to be cancerous. We had hoped that the difficulties in our marriage would have worked out. We had hoped that we would get that perfect job. We had hoped that our prodigal was on their way home. We had hoped that our friendship would have been restored by now. And perhaps today you find yourself traveling, you find yourself traveling on that road. You find yourself traveling on a road of despair and hopelessness because you don't understand why. Sometimes the things that God allows to happen, we don't understand them. And sometimes I believe we're not meant to understand why. Sometimes it's because God just wants to reveal himself in such an amazing way, in such a very personal way. And we don't understand. And so we lose hope. And maybe we're traveling the road right now in our lives of hopelessness, of doubt, that road of disappointment where we don't understand why. And you're trying to make sense of why God allowed what he has allowed in your life, why he didn't come through the way that you thought he promised you he was going to come through. But see, just like these men, just like these two guys, it's okay. You know, we're not superstars. We're not like superheroes. We're human beings. We're frail. We're not always expected to do everything the right way and to right away understand everything that God says to us. But the thing is that we have to be mindful. Just like Elijah, we have to be mindful of that still small voice. And when Jesus wants to come, when he wants to come along that lonely road that you're traveling on right now and speak to you, whether we can see him or not, he wants to speak to us. He's with us. When we're feeling hopeless, we have to remember. We have to remember that we are not alone. We're not walking this path all by ourselves. No, that's not the God that we serve. Maybe we don't understand why, like these guys did. But Jesus is always with us. In Psalm 37, verse 28, the psalmist tells us that the Lord loves the just, and he will not forsake his faithful ones. Jesus is not going to forsake you. Stay faithful. Stay faithful, even if it's hard, even if you don't understand. Stay faithful to what the Word of God is saying to you. Hebrews 13:5 is a wonderful promise. Probably we know it. If we've been a Christian for, you know, any length of time, we know this verse. We've heard this verse. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That's a promise that you should have underlined in your Bible. Never, ever, ever will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And what did we learn last night? All the promises of God are what? What? Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Say it. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Do you believe it? We can shout it out all day long. We can underline it in our Bible, but do we believe it? Do we believe that promise that Jesus gave us, that he will never, never leave us? We saw Elijah left. He left the plan of God. But God knew where Elijah was. God always knows where his children are. He promises he will never, ever leave us, nor will he forsake us. What a promise we have. Verse 15 of Luke 24 tells us that Jesus drew near. He drew near to these two men. Isn't that lovely? Jesus loves to draw near to us. And when did he draw near to them? When they understood the truth? When they figured it out? When they realized that they were walking this path of loneliness for no reason? No, Jesus drew near to them in the midst of their loneliness, in the midst of their doubt, in the midst of their confusion. Jesus drew near. And he does the same with us. He wants to draw near to us. Don't shut him out. See, confusion, hopelessness, doubt causes us to separate ourselves from Jesus, doesn't it? Oftentimes, Jesus is the last person that we want to go to. We want to call our friends, right? I do that. I'm guilty of that. Thankfully, God has put strong Christian women in my life. Because you see, these two guys at this point, they weren't able to encourage one another. They weren't able to lift one another up. So the important thing to remember, be a godly friend and have godly women in your life that are going to remind you of the truth. And Jesus will draw near to us. He doesn't wait for us to get it all together. He doesn't wait for us to be perfect, because that's never going to happen, is it? It's never going to happen. We're not going to be perfect until we get to glory, until we are with Jesus in heaven forever and ever. And Jesus meets these two guys where they're at along this road. And he listens to them. He didn't reveal himself. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, hey guys, guess what? It's me. No, he didn't say that. He listened to them pour out their heart, pour out their disappointment, pour out their confusion. He listens to them. He'll listen to you. He'll listen to me. You know what? Read the book of Psalms. If you ever think you have to be perfect to call on Jesus, go read the Psalms. Listen to what David said. He cried out to God always. He told God, I once read in a book, you know, I had this book and there was all these chapters, and I can't remember the name of the book, something about praying scripture, something like that. And I was going through a period of unforgiveness in my life where I really needed to forgive somebody and I couldn't. But that chapter kept coming over and over again to me. I was like, I don't feel like reading it because it's going to tell me that I've been forgiven much and I need to forgive much, blah, 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 blah. And so finally I just surrendered and I said, okay, I'm going to read it. It was awesome because it wasn't what I thought it was. It was real. And the author was writing about go to the book of Psalms and read what David had to say in his Psalms. He tattled. He was like, they're not fair. They're chasing me. They're doing this and they're doing that. And it's not fair, God. He poured out his heart. He wasn't Mr. Perfect Prayer. He was normal. He was a mighty king. He was a man after God's own heart. But what did he do? Read the Psalms. He poured out his heart honestly and openly before the Lord. But he didn't stay there. He didn't just pour out his heart and the sorrow and complain about who's doing this or Saul's trying to take my life or I'm hiding in a cave. No, after he poured out his heart to God, he always turned his heart back to God. His perspective changed after he poured out his heart to the Lord. His perspective always came back to the truth of who God was and what God was going to do in his life. He trusted him. And so here we see Jesus listening to these men pour out their heart to him. And then what does he do? He listens to them. And then after listening, Jesus begins to speak to them. Don't you love that? Don't you love those times when you know Jesus is speaking to you. He's so personal. He's going to speak to us corporately as we come together as one, but he wants to speak to each of us individually too, because again, we have that personal relationship with Jesus. And he reminds these two that are walking along this road of all the things that had already been said, all the things that have already been told to them that they forgot in their misery, in their sadness. He told them there, the Christ, the Messiah, that he had to suffer, that he had to die on that cross, but then he would rise again. And he started from the beginning. He started from the very beginning. And sometimes in our life, we're so down. Sometimes we're so filled with despair that we might need to listen to Jesus go back to the beginning of our life, the back to the beginning of our walk with him and every single thing that he has done for us along that journey that we have with him. Every step that we've made with Jesus, he is going to bring back to our remembrance the faithfulness of him in our life, because we forget. Every time a trial comes up, every time some unexpected thing comes up, we tend to forget the faithfulness of God. That's why I love prayer journals. I'm not very good at keeping them anymore, but I used to be. But it's great. I think it's a good habit if we could get into it, because you get this old and your memory starts to go a little bit. But write down the things that God has promised you. Write down the trials and where you say, you know what, Lord, I don't know how you're going to get me through this. I don't know how I'm going to come out on the other side of this. But when he answers that promise, when he pulls you through, when he answers that prayer, write down that date that he answered that prayer to. And then when the next trial comes along, you can go back. And whatever happened 2 years ago in my life that I thought God was never going to bring me out of, I can look back and say, wow, he really did the unexpected. He pulled me through. And I can trust, even if my faith is faltering, I can look back and see that God is going to be faithful again. Because why? Because he tells us he doesn't leave us. And that all of his promises are yes and amen. And so Jesus goes back in time and tells these two all the things that the Word of God has said in the past. And they're listening to him, but they still didn't know who it was that was speaking to them. And sometimes I think in our own lives we get that way. You know, some little things are going on in life and we're remembering and this, you know, comes to pass and that comes to pass. And we're not realizing that it's Jesus who's bringing these things to our remembrance. And Jesus reminded these two men of what the Word of God says. And when we find ourselves in those same places, when we find ourselves walking that road of Emmaus in our own life, we need to go back to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the only thing in the world that's going to bring us back to reality. It's the only thing in life that is going to restore that hope that we once had. It's only through the Word of God. It's not through the Word of man. Maybe we're going to hear scriptures or a friend is going to remind us of scriptures, but we have to go to the Word of God even when we don't feel like it. There are days, there are months, I don't feel like getting up and reading my devotions. I'm so angry. I'm so confused. I'm so in a state of, I don't know why that these things are happening in my life, but I've learned to discipline myself. It's a learning thing. Discipline yourself to read the Word of God. I'm not telling you how much of it you have to read every morning. That's between you and the Lord. But read something. Because what does he promise us? His word never, ever returns void. So even when you don't feel it, sometimes we don't have those little goosebumps when we read God's word, do we? We don't feel all like bloomy after our devotions. But do it anyway. Because our walk with Jesus is not about these tingling feelings. It's about faith. It's about going through it when it's hard. It's about doing it when you don't feel like it. Because our faith is not based on how we feel. It's based on who Jesus is. And the only way we're going to know who Jesus is to read his word and to be faithful, even when it's rough, even when we don't feel like it, even when we don't think that we've gotten anything out of that morning devotion. Do it anyway, because he has promised that his word will not return void in our lives. Sometimes the enemy is so good at filling our heads with falsehoods, with lies. See, God promised you that. Well, did he come through with it? He wants to confuse us. That's what he ever lives for. The enemy lives to confuse us, to lie to us, to rob, steal, to do all these horrible things in our lives, to get us to take our focus off of who Jesus is, to get us to be so distraught in life that we don't want to open up our Bibles and read it. That's what the enemy does. That's not Jesus, though. That's the enemy, and we don't want to follow him. Life is difficult. Jesus never ever promised us, did he, that we're going to have a difficult, free life. No, he said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But what? Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. We are going to go through it. We're going to go through it more than once. Sometimes it's going to seem like it's one continual go through it. But be of good cheer. How are we going to be of good cheer? Unless we're in the Word of God. Unless our minds are focused on the promises and the truth of God's Word and not the lies that the enemy is trying to feed our minds. God sometimes seems distant. He seems distant in our lives. Maybe we're just not hearing. Sometimes he's silent. But he is with us. He's always with us. As we read, he's never going to abandon us. That's not the God that we serve. He doesn't just leave us to ourselves. David wrote in Psalm 119, verse 147, I rise before the dawning of morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. Now, I don't rise before the dawning of the morning. No. I could barely tell you what the sunrise looks like most days of my life. But I love David. You know, again, we sometimes get this picture when we read the word. And we get this picture that, you know, somebody who's a king must be like some strong, like tall, handsome, good-looking guy that never falters, that never fails. But David says here, I cry for help. It's okay to cry. Not to have a pity party, but to cry out to God. It's okay. Jesus himself did it in the garden, didn't he? He cried. He cried out to his Father. And what does David say at the end there? I hope. Where is his hope? In God's word. Apart from God's word, we have no hope. We have no lasting hope. We have no true hope apart from God's word. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Tells us the word of God is alive. God's word is alive, and what it is, powerful. His word is powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It cuts between the soul and spirit, between the joint and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. See, that's what God's word does. It takes out all the things that we're believing that aren't true. All of the things inside of our minds that are opposite of what God's word is telling us. That's what God's word is. It brings our focus back to truth rather than letting us keep on entertaining thoughts that are false. Romans 5, verse 5, tells us that hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You see, the hope that we have in God is not dead. The hope that we have is living Because we serve a living God. Our God is not like all these other gods that some of people in the world follow. Our God's not dead. Our God's alive. And because he's alive, we have a living hope. Not something that we can't count on, something that we can count on and we can be assured of. We always have hope. When we have Jesus, we always have hope. Whether you feel it or not doesn't change the truth. We always have hope in Jesus. Nowadays, we look around our world and we see there's so much evil. There's so much contrast to what truth is. People are trying to fill our heads what truth is. The world is opposite. Remember in Isaiah, he says that there's woe to those who say that good is evil and evil is good. That's what we see in our world today, don't we? We see politicians and we see people trying to tell us that we have to be accepted of this and accepted of that. We need to be more tolerant. We need to be more accepting. They're going against what the Word of God says. There's so much evil. And then we, as God's people, can start to get overwhelmed. We can start to lose hope because our eyes are on that box of newscasters telling us what's going on in the world, or on the newspaper telling us what's going on. And so it's easy for us to lose hope because we see so much evil. We hear about so much evil. But we have to be careful. Don't get bogged down in your thoughts because of what's going on in the world. No, we keep our focus on the Lord. We keep our hope in him. And we need to remember, who has the final say? Do the newscasters have the final say? Does Satan have the final say in how this world's going to end? Absolutely not. Jesus Christ has the final say. The outcome of this world is in his hands, not anybody else's. And that's the hope that we can hold on to, no matter what is going on around us. It's easy for us to get in our little groups and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening, that is happening. You know, we fall into that trap. But no, we have to rise above it. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to keep our minds focused on what is true and not what is temporary, but what is eternal. God is going to bring great victory. Out of the darkest times of our life, if we put our hope and our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ, we will have victory. It may not look like you want it to look. It may not come when you want it to come. It's not our timetable. Because you see, what did we say when we accepted Jesus? I no longer live. I gave up rights. I surrendered myself. So I said, I have to continually say that. I surrender myself. I surrender my thoughts. I surrender my wisdom. I love to have wisdom. I love to think I know it all. That's why I never let my husband have the last word. I always want to have that last word. I want to depend upon my own wisdom, but God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to trust in his wisdom and to remember that he will give us the victory as we hope in him. It's not always easy, is it, to see Jesus in those moments of uncertainty, in those moments of confusion, but he's there. And then we can realize, like these two men, that Jesus was there all along. Just because we don't see him, just because we don't feel his presence, doesn't mean that he wasn't there all along with us. He's walking with us. He's speaking to us, regardless of whether we hear it or not, regardless of whether we believe it or not. He doesn't change. He made a promise. He's going to keep it. He revealed himself to these two men through the scriptures. And again, this is how Jesus is going to reveal himself to us. He's going to reveal himself to us through his word, the truth of what his word says. We need to remember in our lives that just because we're going through something today doesn't mean that's how it's going to end. We don't see that finished picture the way that Jesus sees it. And that's not always a comfort, is it? I know that's one of the first things I say to people when they're going through a struggle. Well, God sees the beginning to the end. And it's like, yeah. Because when somebody says it to me, when I'm hurting, when I'm confused, oh, Margie, don't worry about it. Hang in there because God knows what he's doing. And he sees the beginning and he sees the end. And he sees all the stuff in between. And I'm like, I don't really think he sees right now what I'm going through. I don't know. This one might have gotten past him. But we know that's not true. We know that Jesus sees everything. He does see the beginning of our lives to the end of our lives. He sees the finished picture. And he knows what we're going through. And he cares about what we're going through. He wants to go through it with us. He wants to grow us. He wants to increase our faith. We see so many times in Scripture where things started out, and we see that maybe along the way they seemed hopeless. We see the story of Abraham and Sarah. We see that Sarah is in her 90s. Age 9 is somewhere in her 90s, and she's laughing at the thought that she would actually give birth as God had told her. We see Joseph, who was thrown into a pit by his own brothers. We see that they sold him to be a slave. And then he's accused of doing something wrong by Potiphar's wife. And then what happens? He's thrown into a prison. We see the children of Israel being led out of Egypt. But then what happens to them? They panic. They panic when they see Pharaoh and his troops heading towards them at the Red Sea. We see David being on the run. Here he was being anointed as king. And next, all these years later, he's on the run because a madman is trying to kill him. We see Daniel, who is in the lion's den. We see Mary, who is pregnant and unmarried. We see Jesus being crucified and hanging on a cross. But what do we know from these stories? See, we know that that was not the end of their story, was it? These issues that were going on in their life were never the end. And the things that we're going through in our life are not the end. This is not how your story ends. Whatever we're going through right now, we need to trust the Lord. Whatever circumstances that we find ourselves in today, wherever we are in our walk with him, don't lose hope, because this is not the end. This is not the end of your story. And so we can find hope with these two guys that were on this road. They started out with hopelessness and despair and confusion. And then how did it end? How did their story end? Did it stop right there? No. Jesus revealed himself through his word to them. And I love that Jesus never, we don't ever read here, do we, that Jesus spoke out loud and said, "Here I am." He didn't say, "You guys, open your eyes. Look, it's me." No, they found out that it was him through his word, through the things that he had said to them. And then they broke bread. And then their eyes were open. And this is, again, how Jesus is going to reveal himself to us. He's not always going to just stand there right in front of us and say, "Hey, open your eyes up. Here I am." No, we have to go through his word. We have to remember, you know, those not-so-fun promises that, yes, you will go through tribulation. Some of these things that it rains on the just and the unjust. We have to go to his word and remember that he didn't promise. You know, we had this song way back in the 60s. I never promised, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. And that's true. Jesus didn't promise us that our path to heaven was going to be a path with little dainty roses all along it. There's going to be thorns. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be confusion. But Jesus is with us on that road. Jesus declared the truth to them. Jesus defeated death. What they thought was the end was only the beginning. Jesus gave us the promise of eternal life. And what a glorious hope. What a glorious hope. You know, we sang that song today. I couldn't help but weep, because what a reminder of all that Jesus endured, all that he endured on the cross, the beatings, the crown of thorns. Can you picture? Have you ever just closed your eyes? Have you ever just thought what it's like to have a crown of thorns dug into your head? Have you ever thought what it's like to have somebody take a hammer and nails through your hand? And did he do it for himself? Did he do it for anybody else except for us? Every single one of you, Jesus had in his mind, with every nail, with every thorn, with every drop of blood, as he hung there for all those hours, as he cried out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is what your Jesus endured. He didn't do it for his glory. He did it for us. And this is the hope that we need to hang on to. This is how much we are loved. I don't care if nobody else in your life from this day forward ever says the words, I love you. Jesus Christ will tell you, I love you. I died for you. Don't forget it. If ever you need to remember something, he loves you. He loves you unconditionally. And if you have nothing else to put your hope in, then you put your hope in that truth. That one day, the one who died for you is going to embrace you. And you will be with him forever. To the end of the age, Jesus says, what are the last words he said in Matthew chapter 28, 20? He said these beautiful words before he went into heaven. And surely I am with you always. Always. I love these kinds of things because Jesus didn't stop at I am with you. He said, I am with you always. To the very end of the age. He is with us today. He will be with us tomorrow. And if we're still here, he will be with us next year. We are never forgotten. Maybe we don't see Jesus, but he sees us. He sees all. He knows all. He knows every purpose. He knows every plan. Every timing is in his hands. And we need to learn to trust that. We need to learn to let go and trust in God's timing. He ever lives. This blew me away when I think about it. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Think about it. Ever lives to make intercession for us before the Father. That's like having an attorney. Every single thing. I would love this because I say dumb things all the time. I'm always insulting somebody or saying the wrong thing or, you know, sometimes, like, I'm not thinking first, and so it just comes out of my mouth. I would love to have an attorney next to me, like an advocate, walking beside me. And as I speak, the attorney just, she didn't mean that. That's not, every wrong thing I do, this attorney would be by my side and making intercession for me and apologizing for me and explaining what I really meant to say. But we have that. We have Jesus. And he is ever living to make intercession for us. And I'm just thankful beyond words that my Jesus is, I mean, I'm sorry, but sometimes I think I work him overtime and he doesn't have time for other people because... But he's telling the Father, no, she's in me. She's in me. He's ever living to make intercession for us. That is from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. He gives us victory. Do you remember that this same power? Think about this. I know I say that a lot. Think about it, though. This same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside of you. Do you realize that? Do you realize what power is there? Can you know, think that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside of each and every one of us. How can we fail? How can we not be victorious if we put our trust in Him? If we don't lean upon our own understanding? If we just say, okay, I don't get it, but you do. You must have a plan. You must have a purpose. Open my eyes that I might see. This is Jesus, that same power. We do not need to live our lives in defeat. We do not need to live our lives hopeless, filled with despair. Jesus wants to give us His peace. He says, my peace I give you, not the kind of peace that the world gives you. The world can offer us a Band-Aid. They can put like a little plaster on the problem. But God gives us everlasting peace and hope and strength and wisdom. I need His wisdom because my wisdom stinks. What seems right to me is usually wrong. I need the wisdom of God. Romans 15, verse 13, it says, and this is how I leave you today. I want you to think about this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You see, you have to believe. It does us no good to read these words if we don't believe it. That you may what? Abound. Abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want to just give us a little bit of hope. He wants us to be abounding in it, to be overflowing in the hope that He has. And how do we get that again? His word. Plant yourself in His word. When you're confused, when you're doubting, when you find yourself on a road of loneliness, of despair, of confusion, like these two men did, look for Jesus. Because just as He revealed Himself to them through His word, He desires to do that in each of our lives. And He will. Let's pray. Father, thank You that we do have Your word. Thank You that Your word is alive, that it's powerful. Lord, that it searches all the things that are inside of our hearts and in our minds. Lord, and help us to trade the doubts and the fears, the hopelessness for Your truth, for Your wisdom, for Your glory, for Your power, for Your strength. Lord, may we learn to walk in those ways, to walk in the ways that You have set before us. Lord, help us in our weaknesses. Help us to open our eyes and to see You. Help us to be faithful to read Your word, even on those days when it's so hard. Lord, change us. Change us from being women of fear or doubt to being women who are victorious and strong. Because we have a living hope, because we serve a living God. Lord, may Your word be alive in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tell you right now, it's gonna be alright.